Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's two reasons why you're listening to this today. One, you know me and support me. Two, you're a nosy old shy. Either way, I'm happy to have you. You're listening to episode 12 of the Unedited Podcast.
Do you think you can handle it? Do you think you could? Do you think you could handle it? Do you think you could?
Hello, hello, and thank you very much for joining me here today. I have finally came back on to the pod, and I'm really, really happy to be here. Although I'm back, and I am back, I'm very different. I'm a different person than what I was the last time I recorded an episode, and that is because I am now going through a bereavement, and already that is awkward. Already you're probably like, here, knock that off. And it's probably because you're a grief dodger. And like most of us, everybody tends to be a grief dodger or have grief dodging tendencies. So you're probably wondering, what is a grief dodger? Well, I have a little joke with my friend. If you have listen to any of these podcasts before, you'll know he's a returning guest, Michael Stafford, aka the chapter coach. And I slag him and I call him the grief dodger because he hates it, and he openly says that he does not like to be around grief. He just doesn't like it. He finds it really uncomfortable, awkward. He doesn't really know what to say. In actual fact, he's quite a brilliant friend to have at any stage of your life. And in particular, this one, he's very supportive and he grant you the space that you need. However, I totally get what he's saying, because I've noticed, even now going through this recent bereavement, that people don't know what to do. They don't know what to say to you. They either come in and they're really, really awkward, so they can't look you in the eye. They don't know whether to say I'm sorry, or they wait a couple of minutes and they go, oh yeah, I'm sorry about that, I was very sorry, you know. And it's lovely because I know how hard it is and how awkward it is and how uncomfortable it is. So for anybody that does manage to overcome that and still give their condolences, it's really, really greatly appreciated. But that's the thing. It's greatly appreciated. So remember that the next time you get awkward about saying to somebody sorry for your loss, remember it's greatly, greatly appreciated. The acknowledgement of somebody's life lost to a loved one is so, so nice and so comforting. Even those simple words, I am sorry for your loss, is greatly appreciated. So make sure that you share them, because, you know, the reality of it is death is something that is guaranteed. It is going to happen to every one of us, and we're all going to experience and unfortunately have to see and feel the loss of people that we love. And For that to be acknowledged and to receive that sympathy and empathy is all that really people can offer you. And it's just so lovely to get that back. So never be afraid to share your condolences for another person. It's like if somebody was to have a baby, you'd never not congratulate them. You know, although having a baby is a beginning and it's an amazing experience, the loss of a life is their life was an amazing experience and it added great value to people, so, and to their loved ones. So to be able to, you know, give your condolences is again greatly, greatly experiences. So trying not to get too awkward around it is what I'm saying. You know, it really, really is what it is. And you're definitely offering comfort by doing that. So that would be a little bit of advice for any grief dodgers out there. But it's not only that, it's the air around it, isn't it? It's people being sad, people being down. You're trying to get yourself on track and you're trying to choose to be happy and have a great day. And you have like your poor depressed pal over there missing somebody that they love so, so much. And, you know, it can affect your life and it can seep into your life and it can also affect your energy and your mood. So it's totally understandable why people would want to avoid people that are going through that. There's very easy ways to do it. You can acknowledge it, give condolences, let them know you're here for them. Check in when you feel able. You know, not everybody is going to, you don't, believe me when I tell you, when people are going through a loss, they don't want people in their pocket on top of them all the time, especially within the first year. The first year of losing somebody is, it's very, very difficult. It's like a cloud, you know, you're kind of just floating through and you're just kind of getting through. You're getting through life. And the second year when people expect you to move on with your life, that's really when you need people. It's really when you need people to be there for you. That's when you need people to just, you know, arrive at your house or invite you for a coffee or plan a fun day out. So if you do have anybody in your life that's experiencing a loss and they're tipping into that second year or third year after, that's the time to give them a little help out and remind them that, you know, you're aware that they're still going through something and you're there as a friend, because you need that more so throughout your life to come, really, because people are just learning to adapt and to be in a world without the people that they love. Now that brings me on to processing. So processing a loss. So this time I am, it's crazy when I explain the differences between all of these losses. So usually people, or I have said even in the past, and you'll hear it said a lot, it said time is a great healer. So yeah, well, no, it's not. People heal, you know, and so time doesn't heal, people heal. And that's what I've came to believe. So basically on my past losses, I have given it time. And you'll often hear people saying, don't change your job within 3 months or within 6 months of a loss. Don't see a medium within 6 months of your loss. There's always these time frames. Or don't make any major decisions within 6 months of a loss. It's basically what people are saying. And I mean, I don't find that relatively true, because what I'm finding now is with this loss is I'm after getting to a point in my life that I really enjoy. So I was at a place where I was looking forward to life. I was, well, not looking forward, enjoying my life, loving my environment, happy in my home, my family, and looking forward to building my life and building on my career and doing all these amazing things. And sitting down here and chatting into this mic, I love doing this podcast and I wanted to do more of it. And I lost somebody that I loved and I had to stop and I had to process and I had to feel the pain. So what I've now decided to do this time around, rather than waiting and trying to do things in a couple of months' time or have things to look forward to, I've decided to process and try and heal now. And the only way that I can do that is by acknowledging it. Now, this is a long road. Grief is going to sink in and creep up on me when I least expect it. I might have a good few days and like here I am chatting into a mic tonight, for example. A couple of days ago, I was so paralysed and pained that I couldn't even speak, because I just couldn't. And I just had to cry and I had to hurt and I had to wail and I had to cry myself to sleep. I had to have that natural release. That is pain in my heart. It's a physical pain in my heart. So I had to process, let all of that come out, let that release come, that cry. And then the next day I was able to go through my day and be present in my day. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case for every single loss, because like I said, this is my third loss and I'm very aware of everything. You know, I've learned to identify with all of those pains. So by no means is there any pressure to, I'm saying, oh, right, this is the secret and this is how it works. It isn't. This is just what I'm finding as I move along through my life, as I move along through these experiences. And I'm just sharing them here today in the hope that it might identify or relate with somebody and it might help you through maybe an element of some of your loss, or you might be a better asset to somebody else that's going through a loss. So this is not a handbook of how how to survive after. Do you believe in life after law? I don't know. Anyway, it's not a guide as in how to get through grief. It's just an insight into what I'm finding and what I'm choosing to do. So I really do hope it helps. But yeah, that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like accepting all of those emotions and being aware of them, acknowledging them and allowing myself to go through them now is going to help me. It's not going to help me as in long term. It's going to help me now. It's going to help me still be able to enjoy my life. It's still be able to be present in experiences. And like, I see life as in a lot of light and shade, because that's how it has been for me for the last couple of years. There has been a huge amount of light and shade. You know, something incredible happens, then I'm met with something horrendous, like a family member getting sick or something has happened. I've experienced a lot in the last couple of years, and I've experienced a lot all throughout my 20s, you know, all to do with loss and trauma and family and all of that stuff. And it's been a lot of light and shade. And I kind of feel now, looking at it as a whole, I think life is that. It is light and shade. And some of it is so amazing and so incredible. And some of it is really horrific and sad and hard. And, you know, but after each thing or situation that I have overcame, I have gotten more awareness, which has given me more tools to get through, to enjoy life. It's not necessarily that I've gotten stronger. I suppose in a way, yes, I have gotten stronger, but it's just that I know more. I have more awareness. I have more knowledge. And it's just incredible having an understanding, because it really, really is helping me through this process. Like, this time around, I'm going through something that's not just my loss. I have to witness my ma's loss, and that's really, really hard. It's really difficult because I've never witnessed or had anything like this in my family before, because they were each other's great loves, you know. He was the love of her life and she was the love of his. And it's like when you watch a movie, like Pearl Harbor or something. That's the only heart-wrenching one that I can think of at the minute. And you're watching this great love story and you're watching it end when two people didn't want it to, and then on top of that, these two people are two people that you love, you know, that you love more than anything. And it's really, really hard. So what am I left with, though? You know, here I am, I'm still here, my soul is still like in this body having this earthly experience. So what am I left with, you know, and how do I help? So how I help is by being myself, is by striving, processing my pain, staying in it, moving forward, and hopefully that will inspire those around me that are also hurting to do the same. And that's the goal. Now, also this time around, going through this loss, I am a mother, which I wasn't before. So now I have a responsibility to basically set an example, to also teach my child what these emotions are and what this pain is, because she just lost her only grandpa. And she's only a little baby, she's only a little girl. She does understand that she had somebody that she loves and now they are no longer here. So she is also an inquisitive little thing. So she definitely has questions and she has a longing for that person that she loves. So she wants to know, where are they gone? Not only that, she wants to know why her mother and grandmother and family are all very upset and all of these things. So I had a decision to make, and unawares to myself, when she asked me why I was sad, I decided to tell her that I was sad because I was hurt and that I was going to miss our grandpa very much, but that I will be okay, because that's something that I want her to understand, is that in life things are going to happen and you are going to be in pain and you have to process that pain and cry through it. You have to hurt in order to heal. And that's how I'm choosing to parent. I've decided to be open and honest with, my two-year-old. Because we just don't know. So, you know, you just never ever know what is going to happen. So I want to just spread awareness and spread knowledge and an understanding, and hope that giving them tools or wisdom or whatever it is that you want to call it will help, and that voice will resonate in other people's and my child's head whenever they come across hard times, and that they understand. Yeah, so that's how I'm choosing to parent. And I suppose everything is a choice, you know. Every single thing in life is a choice. Like I've said before, choosing to get up out of the bed in the morning is a choice. Choosing what side of the bed you get up out of in the morning is a choice. The choice to be happy or sad, the choice to feel happy or sad, is ultimately yours. Now, it's not, for me, it's not as simple as being, oh, I'm going to decide to be happy today. It doesn't work like that. Being happy is the equivalent of millions of different things. It's like brain trickery. You know, you need to trick your brain into being happy. So basically, it could be the little joys in life, like whatever makes you feel good. You might wake up in the morning and you might like to have a hot or a cold shower. You might like to use a certain sort of shower gel. Like I love, this is not an ad, but I love the Rituals foam, you know, and every now and again I'll get a bottle of that, and I love that, and it feels amazing on my skin and it smells incredible. And that's like a little joy, you know. I have a little pep in my step. I'm washing myself with good gear and, you know, loving life. That's a choice. I made a choice to purchase that item for myself to make myself feel good. I knew it would make me smile. I'd feel fresh. I'd feel nourished. I'd feel loved. Bit of self-love. So I made that small choice. Like, chatting to someone the other day, I went to this amazing event that I'll tell you about in a second. And she loves to make her sandwiches into triangles. And that's her little joy. She feels like it's a real treat. Our little triangle sandwiches, she feels like she's nurtured herself, she's feeding herself the good stuff, she's having a ball, that's how she likes to eat. If she's going gourmet, she's cutting them in triangles, loving life. That's her little joy. So you're making all of these small little decisions for yourself. You're being kind to yourself, being nice to yourself, you're giving yourself little treats. Ultimately, all of those little things is going to equal what you've been happy. It's like anything, you know, strip back the basics, start with the small stuff. And especially when you're going through a loss, that's where you need to go back to, is the simplest things in life. Like, everybody keeps asking me at the moment, oh, how's your ma getting on? And I'm like, well, she's getting up in the morning, you know, that's a positive. She's choosing to get out of the bed, she's choosing to have a wash, she's choosing to move. That alone is an incredible achievement, considering the pain that she's suffering. So, but that's it, isn't it? You just start off there. And like, I would imagine that action of waking up, that opening your eyes, because I know too well it's tough, and I'd say it's so much tougher for her, but that even that small action of opening your eyelids hurts so much, but she chooses to do it. You know, we choose to do it because you're choosing to live, and each time you do that, it gets a little bit easier, it gets a little bit lighter. So I suppose bringing it back all the time, just start small and begin to move, and eventually you will get there. Now, you might listen to things like this or hear people saying, oh, choose to be happy and, you know, all of those things. And, like, it's not a whole choose to be happy as a whole. Sometimes what can happen is, like, walking around all day, it's not humanly possible to be happy all day, every day. All the different emotions that you have to go through, anger, pain, hurt, crying, laughing, yawning, all of these things are all normal, being tired, fatigued, all of them are, they happen to us all, that's how our bodies work. The choice that you have is choosing whether or not the emotion controls an element of your life or determines an element of your life. That's the choice. It's identifying, understanding the emotion, why you're feeling it, and making sure that it doesn't transpire or spiral into something else. So being in control of that. And the only way that you can be in control of that is by understanding it, is by acknowledging it, and it's by processing all of those feelings. So this week I ended up at an event, and oh my God, what an event it was. And I'm so grateful for it. I can't tell you how grateful I am. So it was really, really interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I said to Michael that I'd love to go on an event. I was after seeing this retreat, and it was all based around grief. It was like a grief retreat, basically. And it was for 2 days, and I said, oh, I'd love to do that. Go off to the country with a load of random people that I do not know, open myself up to, you know, experiencing other people and sharing this whole common denominator and doing loads of things that I like to do, like hiking. I don't particularly like sea swimming, but I love the feeling after it. So I suppose, yeah, sea swimming, yoga, sound baths, meditation, Reiki, all that stuff that I love. And I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. But I was very well aware that I wouldn't really want to sit with myself for that length of time. It might be a bit too much for me at the moment because I have a lot to process. So I said, I'd love even a little half day retreat. And he said, oh, I found a little half day, like meditation day. Why don't we book this? So he books this, and Sunday we end up at this retreat. We walk in, amazing, amazing feeling, small group of people, all incredible. And we sit down, they tell us it's all based on grief. So I'm sitting there thinking, this grief dodger is after booking me on a grief retreat 2 weeks after I've just lost somebody. I was like, is he having me on? I turned and looked at him, he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Anyway, oh my God, were we at the perfect place at the perfect time. It was amazing. Two girls ran the event, Amy and Elaine. Amy is a music teacher, and she done a lot of like sound therapy, I suppose. So she's now implementing holistic treatments into our music teaching. So she done loads of like musical exercises with us, and it was all about like clearing your throat chakra. Now, I mean, that's amazing because I've wanted to get onto this podcast for quite a while now. And I go to this event on Sunday and we do all this clearance of your throat chakra. And here I am tonight. I couldn't get onto this mic quick enough, you know. And I do believe that all of that therapy really, really helped me get here tonight. Not only that, now this is not a proven thing, but it is quite coincidental. Or is it? You know, this one is amazing. So basically, Michael sitting there along with me clearing his throat chakra. And not only, Michael lost his taste and smell 2 years ago to COVID. And it's been a really difficult battle, you know, and props to him. My God, he's amazing. But he can't taste anything. And we were sitting there, and after doing all these exercises, we had a bit of chocolate, and Michael could taste the chocolate. I swear he could taste the chocolate. I nearly sobbed. I couldn't believe he could taste the chocolate. Now, it was mint chocolate, so he was able to taste that. We gave him a little bit of orange chocolate then. He couldn't really taste that one, and he was managed to smell one of the aisles. So it was just incredible. So believe what you like, but it was deadly, I must say. So that was Amy's part. Elaine brought in the angels, Reiki. It was beautiful. It was so comfortable and nourishing. We released, we let go. We had beautiful, beautiful Reiki at the end. It was from 10 to 2. I'd highly recommend that, actually. It was amazing. And it was just perfect. It was perfect to just surrender yourself to the experience and just let go. It was the really, really, really was the greatest place to be for us that day. And I'm so grateful for it. And see, that's the thing. This is the thing with grief. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be an awkward thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, an uncomfortable experience. It is a part of life. And the more you're around people that understand it and open up about it, like, I'm saying open up about it and talk about it. I'm just saying, like, you know, relate and acknowledge. I'm not saying you have to sit there and talk about everything and the whole details of it and stuff, because you don't really want to go through it all the time. But it is really, really good to have shared experiences, and it's a great form of therapy. It's a great way to process, acknowledge, appreciate the pain that you're feeling. Like, and that's the thing, it's appreciating the pain that you're feeling. Like, I always think to have great pain, you must have had great love. And your pain is an acknowledgement of the love that you had. So what gets me through sometimes is when I'm feeling that pain, that it's just a reminder of how much love there was within that relationship. And you can't not give gratitude for it. So I'm going to finish up with Nanny Mantra. This one is really, really great, and it's very fitting for the podcast today. So it's from Elaine from K-Therapy Ireland. That is the girl that ran the event with Amy on Sunday. I will tag them in on Instagram, so you can follow me on Jessica Moulds Unedited if you are not already. So this one is from her mom. So she wrote, "As Mammy used to say, don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today." And that fits into so many things. It also fits into a lot of the accountability chats that we've had. But also, like, you know, what we've been talking about today. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. And it's very much what I believe to be with grief. It's, you know, when that pain comes, let it come, let it hurt, and let yourself heal. I really, really hope that this podcast helped somebody today. Thank you so much for listening. And I will be here again next week, if you're nosy enough. Do you think you could handle it? Do you think you could? Do you think you could handle it? Do you think you could?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.